trainer Steve Asmussen, who joins us now here on HRRN. Steve, welcome, my friend.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, fun trip down memory lane, thinking back on Rachel and, of course, Curlin a couple of years prior. What is it about the Preakness that just seems to fit Steve Asmussen?
Well, in those instances, it was obviously Curlin and Rachel Alexander.
Hey, you didn't screw it up, so.
Yes.
Well, this year you come into it with a couple of horses. You have Lookin' at Lee, runner-up last week behind Always Dreaming, and you have Hence, who was actually, according to the betting public, the more highly regarded of the two, sent off at 15-1 as opposed to 33-1 for Lookin' at Lee. Look back on the Derby for a minute. Take us through the race and your thoughts on the performance of Lookin' at Lee.
Well, obviously, I was very proud of his effort. I thought Corey gave him a beautiful trip. And Lookin' at Lee having the mental makeup to take that sort of a trip in the Derby from the one hole under those conditions. Obviously, very proud of both of them. And love how he came out of the race and looking forward to trying again.
You were pretty adamant about running Hence back in this race. What did you see in the Derby that makes you think Hence has a big shot at the Preakness?
Well, he's obviously got a lot of talent, being a horse that's run fast previously. He's a very sound horse, and watching the Derby, when they went under the wire the first time, he just from all the kickback, he was not in a rhythm, just jumping up and down, and came back like he hadn't run hard, and I obviously believe that, and I think that he's capable of better. Sloppy conditions and 20 runners are impossible to simulate or recreate.
Steve, there's only one trainer in the history of the sport who has saddled more winners than you. Of course, that's Dale Baird. You've now been second twice in the Kentucky Derby. You've been third a couple of times, including last year with Gunrunner. What is it about this particular race that makes it so difficult to win?
I'm not exactly sure, other than how much it means. It's obviously, I believe that it's the pinnacle of our sport, and one that is definitely missing from my resume, but it definitely gives us something to reach for and look forward to doing.
Yeah, and your horses always run so well when you do show up in the Derby. I mentioned all those close calls. What's the key to getting your horses ready to peak on that first Saturday in the May in the way you've been able to?
Well, I think we're getting better at it. I definitely early on, we might have been a little done when we got there, but I think you see what Gunrunner and Creator did after the Derby last year. I think we're looking for similar results with the three we ran in the Derby this year, that we're just part of the process and that they're getting better and they'll have productive second halves of the year.
What's it like to have three horses in the Kentucky Derby and try to keep track of them all? I think a lot of fans would be interested in that.
Me and Scott were talking about that the other day, how smooth it went this year. And all three of the horses are, very good physicals. They acted well. They trained really nice. So we weren't no added pressure there. But I think the biggest key to this year was the ownership and ownership groups of these horses and just how much class they showed and how happy they were to be a part of a great event. And they made it all go smoothly for the barn and the horses.
Talking with trainer Steve Asmussen here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Steve, put us in the mind of a Hall of Fame horse trainer. When you're looking at making the decision to run in the next leg, 2 weeks later in the Preakness, what are some of the factors that go into deciding if indeed you're going to run, and when does that process start?
I think immediately, your initial reaction to how tired they are from the effort, when they come back to you, watching them cool out, just the way that they took the race. And then you will, out of curiosity and interest, you'll watch the replay multiple times for your own horses as well as others. Just, it is the Kentucky Derby, just to see what happened where and everything. And then how they eat that night, how you feel about them the next morning, what their energy level's like. And I'm this year's Derby and the process and these three horses. We're very blessed to be a part of them, and I can't say how good a shape they came out of it. I think, you know, Glenn and the racetrack crew at Churchill deserve a lot of credit for their handling of the weather. And as all reports indicate, you know, definitely my three, the condition these horses came out of that, the Churchill Downs racetrack and the crew deserve a lot of credit for the shape they kept it in under the weather.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. It was a phenomenal job because the weather was bad all week long, and they had such a task, but they worked tirelessly, those guys. They're on the track all day and all night sometimes trying to make it as good as possible, and they certainly had it in fantastic condition for the Derby.
Absolutely, and I think that you've heard all the reports. I've seen most of the horses that ran in the Derby go back, and it's a true credit to the track team there at Churchill Downs.
Steve, Darren Rogers joined us in the previous segment, and he talked about the fact that there may have been, throughout the day, an inside speed-favoring bias on that racetrack, and that's why he was so impressed with looking at Lee and the move that he was able to make, gaining ground from off the pace the way he did. How about in your opinion? Was there any kind of bias that you noticed throughout the afternoon?
Yeah, the fast horses were really effective. funny how that works in a horse race.
Maybe the greatest answer I've ever received to that question, by the way.
Corey Lannery was the right rider for looking at Lee in the Derby at Churchill Downs. And that is combination of everything. What I know about Corey, what I know about looking at Lee, and what I know about Churchill Downs. It came together. They gave it a great try. You know, hats off to the winner. Going to Pimlico, Lee's going to show up. He's going to run his race, and 2 weeks back is not going to bother him.
Yeah, that's good to know. One thing that I really liked about his race and how you handled it all, when you drew the rail, you know, everybody was hanging the crepe, oh, poor looking at Lee, drew the rail and all that. And you said, you know, this is a perfect post position for this horse because he's going to be able to get out, get a nice trip. Corey Lannery's going to ride him just perfectly. And it all came true. I mean, people make a lot of the post positions, but you weren't the least bit fazed when you drew the inside post.
It wouldn't have been my first choice, but if it's meant to be, it's going to be. And Corey was going to be on the rail. By the 3/16th pole, he was going to be on the rail behind him, whether he'd have been the one or the 20. And, you know, look at got a lot of confidence in both that they're not going to hesitate. They're going to make the most of their opportunity, and they're going to do all they can do. And I think that's exactly what happened. You don't know to complain about a post position until after a race is run. You stand there at the draw and you see who's where, but you know when you're at the draw, you don't know Irish War Cry's taking a left. You don't know that they're slamming in the you know where do you want to be? You'll know afterwards.
Yeah, well said. And I've said that about this three-year-old division, too. I did several interviews with radio stations around the country leading up to the Derby, and one question that everybody seemed to ask was, how good is this three-year-old crop, and where does it rank in terms of comparing it to other ones that we've seen in recent years? And, Steve, I've often said that you can't make a decision on this year's three-year-old division until they start facing older horses later in the year. You know, you talked about your horses last year and what they did later in the season. That, to me, is the indication of how good a crop will be.
All right. I think, with all horses, how good's the horse? They got to have the whole career. You have to have the whole body of work in front of you to judge it. You know, it's just where are you now? And right now we're in good shape, but we need to continuously get better to get done what we want.
Okay, in terms of the Preakness, and obviously a bit shorter distance than what we saw in the mile and a quarter last week in Louisville, what else makes the Preakness different than the Kentucky Derby? What makes it a different type of race, Steve?
A lot of it is, you know, how you're treated at the Preakness. I mean, it's lighter. And maybe it is everything in comparison to the Derby is lighter from a pressure standpoint. It's a good time, and they entertain the owners well. you know, and everybody's happy to still be in it, and obviously feel good about themselves going, you know, if you're 2 weeks after the Derby and you're still feeling good about yourself to run, you're usually in a pretty good mood.
Steve Asmussen here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Steve, when are the horses heading northward to Baltimore?
They're going to breeze Monday morning, and then we will fly to Baltimore on Tuesday.
All right. Well, we want to wish you all the best in Baltimore. We'll look forward to seeing you there at Pimlico. And like all of our guests who appear on the program, you will receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. It is the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. You can embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. We'll hand deliver that to you when we see you up there at the Stakes Barn.
That's nice of you. Thank you.
All right, buddy. Safe travels, and thanks so much for being here.
All right. Thank you.